Hallelujah, Lord. Forgive us for making you wait. Yesterday at the women's gathering, a lot was shared from the heart of the Lord with Louise speaking and Sister Carolyn. And one of the things that really got to me was when Sister Carolyn said, how's your love life? So I would like to read out of Ephesians 4. There's a lot here. I'll save it for another day. That feet were washed yesterday, and I really prayed that everyone felt it was Jesus washing their feet. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt, according to the deceitful lust. Who's your father? And be renewed by the spirit of your mind. Stop desiring to hold your thoughts according to your will, not the Lord's. And that you put on a new man which was created according to God. How's your love life? Like Sister Carolyn had spoke yesterday. Father God, we come before you in prayer and say, most of the time our love life is cruddy, that we steal from you the joy of you desiring us to be free. And instead, Lord, we take things upon ourselves, hold it against people, hold them hostage, saying, here I am, Lord, you sent me to do this, which is a lie. That is not the God we serve. Lord, we serve a God today in our worship. We will give him our all in all. We'll give him the best. We won't think about how we grew up and what happened growing up. And we're going to forget that. We're going to remember the garden. We're going to remember the cross where you took our sins. We're going to remember you rose above them, how you taught us in your word, that we will rise above. How's your love life? How's your love life? Yeah. Do you love the Lord and not wanting to change? I give this credit to the Lord speaking to Sister Carolyn and Louise. Louise was the softer part and the gentle part also. And I am grateful, Lord, that you give us leaders in this house who do have a beautiful love life with you. And so, Lord, let it rain down on us today so we may learn from your truth, not wanting to idolize one another or acting like you're the greatest. They're not the greatest. You are the greatest, Lord. You are Jesus Christ. Today, Lord, take your hand on our mouths so we may greet you in the love you created us on the potter's wheel. Amen.
And, you know, I guess we all have that time, right? We're kind of out of practice in the holiness of God, in that stillness, in that quietness, you know? It's so hard to dial it down. Today, I'm doing the communion message, and I really... I had another word last night, and I woke up real early this morning, and throughout the night, I just felt this message coming. And so I really do believe that God wants to speak to people in here with specific needs, okay? And so if it's you, just open yourself up, be vulnerable to the Holy Spirit, and let it speak something to you that triggers something more. Okay, when the Lord speaks like sound, it has waves, right? And it goes on and on and on. So let the word of the Lord today, the very presence of God, just trigger that kind of, you know, movement, right? And imagination and things that mean something personal to you when you think of the word of God and when you're in his presence. So I'm going to read a little bit, but I'm going to mostly talk about the story of David in 2 Samuel chapter 9. And I'll read a little bit, and I want to comment a little bit. And I want you to put yourself in this story, okay? And I want you to really open yourself up to the Spirit of God as he speaks to you something specific, and I believe he will be specific. Now, David said, and this is after David became king, okay? He had gone through a lot to get there. Now, David said, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And in one of my other Bibles, it says, I will show him kindness, the kindness of God. So his motivation was God, not his own, right? Now keep in mind that he's asking a question, can I show the kindness of God to anyone in Saul's house? Now we were encouraged yesterday to love our enemies, right? Saul wanted to kill David because of jealousy. And yet, isn't that the very virtue of God in David's heart to seek out family from his enemy to show the kindness of God? Saul was the king. He sought to kill David. David refrained when he had an opportunity to injure and hurt him. And that also is really gracious and merciful of the Lord moving through him. And so in the scripture, it continues. And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. And when they called David, the king, he said to Ziba, the servant, and the servant responds, I'm at your service. And he said, the king said in verse 3, is there still not someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? So we see that progression there as well, right? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. So the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said, he's over here. You know, he's in the land of Lo-Debar. And let me tell you something. At 5 years old, a servant, a caretaker, dropped Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, and he became lame in his feet. He couldn't walk life properly. And you know, we all have maybe authority figures or caretakers in our life. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a teacher. Maybe it's a doctor. I don't know. But there are people in our lives that injure us, right? And we're not able to walk properly with the Lord because of that injury. And Lo-Debar, where Mephibosheth, say that three times, where he lives was in hiding. And Lo-Debar means a place of no pasture, no word, or nothing in Hebrew. So that's where he was living, the grandson of Saul. It was a barren, desolate, and obscure location, and it represents a state of spiritual emptiness in isolation, a place of brokenness, a place of hopelessness, in contrast to God's grace and restoration that is soon coming in this story. We all have experienced trauma and crisis. We all have been dropped or injured by life, by disease, by financial crisis, by relationships, by our own sin, right? I mean, we all can relate to this story. So the king calls for Mephibosheth, and his name means from the mouth of shame or dispeller of shame. It was a source of dishonor. That's where he lived, and that's what his name meant. And one of the things that I see really very often is the whole issue of shame. And when we are struggling with shame or false guilt, right, or condemnation, that is not the kindness of God. It is not. God wants to do a divine exchange. He wants to pluck up those things and plant his kindness and goodness in those places. Now, Mephibosheth did not, he was injured at an age of 5. I mean, that's developmental years, right? And it was through no fault of his own. These things happened to him. Things have happened to you in your life through no fault of your own. Rejection, fear, shame, all those unwords that the devil continues to speak in your mind. Unworthy, unlovable, all of it. But God's word says something different. And we need to exchange and receive that gift from God and exchange it for what he says about us. Oh, what manner of love the Father has given unto us that we should be called the sons and daughters of God. That's incredible, guys. And we walk so short of the royalty and the royal inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ. It is not about being proud. It is about God being our confidence and believing what he says about us in contrast to every other thing. So, David, he's a type of Jesus, right? Desires to show the kindness of God. But again, he isn't Jesus. He's just a type. Because we know he had his failings, right? I mean, come on. He was a murderer. And yet he was called a man after God's own heart. There, right there, is the recipe for that divine exchange. You are not who you were. You may not be who you are going to be, but you're not who you were. And like I say in my class, we are in the state of becoming. We are in the state of becoming. That's the state of sanctification. Yes, we belong to the Lord, but we are in a state of becoming what God has planned and intended for us. So David, right away in verse 7 of chapter 9, says, don't fear to Mephibosheth. He came and he was humiliated. He's living in this desolate place spiritually and physically, and he's injured. He can't walk right? Through no fault of his own. And so David says, don't be afraid. And so David, what he does, he restores to him as Mephibosheth is shaking in his boots. He's thinking he's off with his head, right? Do you ever just feel like God's just off with your head? No, that's not God. God, through David, shows Mephibosheth and shows us that he redeems and restores. And so in verse 7 of chapter 9, it says that Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, who was, by the way, David's best friend, the son of Saul, had come to David. He fell on his face and prostrated himself. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, here is your servant. So he's pretty shaken up. He's in the presence of the king, right? And when we're in the presence of the king, do you ever think the guillotine's going to come down on you? Yeah, that's not God's intention. And he says, don't fear. And he said, I will restore to you all the land of Saul, his enemy, your grandfather, Jonathan, and you shall eat bread at my table. You're not going to just visit. You're going to have a place at the king's table. Now, he invites him to the king's table. And as we have communion today, I want you to think of this. God has a place for you at his table. When he lays it out, it covers all your injury, all your lameness, all your shame, all your rejection, all your fill in the blank. Because, you know, when you sit at a table, like, you know, we put tablecloths on our tables, right? We're all at the same place. My injury is not shown. It's covered. Yours is as well. We are. It's a level playing field when we are under the blood of Christ and the table that he has set for us. There's healing there. There's forgiveness there. And just a side note, when things happen to you in your life, oftentimes it creates a sinful attitude in us. Bitterness, unforgiveness. You can see in this story, that was not the case with David, and it should not be the case with us as well, right? And how you know you have bitterness in your heart? You rehearse over and over that thought. You know everything that happened and when that was said. You know what they wore. You know how they said it. You know where you were. You know what you're eating. You know every detail. So if that, you know, if that shoe fits, wear it. Okay? So there's healing at that table. There's forgiveness. There's cleansings. There's redemption and restoration. The table is set. The table is set. Philip, can you give me my communion? Where? Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay. So I want you just, as we were kneeling before the Lord, doing something different, right? We're just in faith making a posture, something that means something in our heart, right? We're bowing before the Lord. But as we sit at the Lord's table and ask him, what has been stolen? What has injured? What has brought crisis and trauma? What has brought pride? What has brought fill in the blank, right? And restore all that the enemy has stolen. 30, 60, 100 fold, all. And as we take the bread and the cup, so be it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Go ahead, y'all. Finish fellowshipping. Go on and tell them why you're there. Tell them you love them and give them a big hug. Come on. Why you're there? Tell them you love them. Give them a big hug. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Asha Todobo CK. Yando Saya. Praise God. Now, I know y'all comfortable where y'all are, but could some of y'all slide up a little bit? I want to see the whites of your eyes. Slide, if you can, slide up a little bit. If not, stay where you are. I want to see the whites in your eyes. Amen. And you at home, I love you, those at home, those that are on the internet, love you, love you. Come out. Come on out. Let us see you. Let us hug you. Let us talk to you. Amen?
Come on.
All right. What you doing in here, young man? You got to stay in here? Good. Give me some love. Good. Let me see the whites of your eyes. All right. I'm just messing with you, man. All right. Amen. Pastor Oz, Pastor Jan, we love you. We love you. Just get well. We got this. See, the Lord got you. Amen. Praise God. Well, let me pray. Father God, as we go into your word today, we just thank you for the joy that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for all the other little things and big things that you've done. And we just ask today that if it's somebody here that the word hits, Father God, let them hit them and let them hit it where that it produces a change, because we know it's your word that carries that change forth, Lord. But it's the Spirit that gives it the power, Father. It's the Spirit that gives it the power. Now, Lord God, have your way. Use me any way you want to, Lord God. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right. Let's see, 11:17, okay? We're going to John. We're going to John chapter 14. We're going to John chapter 14, and we're going to start in verse 15. John 14, verse 15. Now, my Bible says in the heading, the promise of the Spirit. Now, you got a handout, right? Everybody got handouts. Raise them up. Now, in that handout, listen to me. In that handout, it's gonna be some stuff that I cover. But that handout is for you to take home, because in that handout is some important things about the Holy Spirit. Now, hold on. Who was with God and Jesus when the world was framed? Come on. Who helped? And who else? Whose purpose was it to go and make it happen when God spoke it? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Let's not leave him out. I'm here to bring him to the forefront now, at the present time. It's not taking nothing away from God. It's not taking nothing away from Jesus. But I'm telling you now, who's inside you? Come on, y'all. Come on. Come on. Who's inside of you? The Holy Spirit. And if he's not, okay, now hold on. Let's be real now. If he's not, raise your hand, and we're going to put you on the list to pray with you, and we'll make sure that he is in you. Come on. You need, you, man, if you don't stop playing, you need him.
Yeah.
That's power.
That's right.
That's wisdom. That's knowledge. To walk with you every day. He said he would never leave you nor forsake you. And he said if you confess him as your Lord and Savior, he would send the Holy Spirit to be with you. And guess what one of his names is? The Helper. The Helper. He is the Helper. And I am, Holy Spirit, I invite you to help me. Because I used to be a screw up. I screwed up everything. Come on now. Let's just be real. Listen, when I use me as an example, that's because it's no better person than I can use as an example but myself. I can't tell you what somebody else was going through or what somebody else was doing, but I use me because I messed up. But then I found the help I needed. And it was in God. It was in Jesus, and it was in the Holy Spirit. That's why I had that printed out for you, so that you could read it for yourself, what he'll do for you. We're going to read the scriptures, and under the scripture is some footnotes. Take that home. Study it. Ask God. Say, God, I want to experience this. I want to know what it is to have the Holy Spirit in my life. You got to talk to him. Remember, The only reason why you justified now is because Jesus died. Jesus justified you by shedding his blood. Are you going to mess up tomorrow? Yeah. Are you going to mess up next year? Yes, you are. You're going to do something because you're still in the flesh body. But the thing about it is that God has already made a way for you to get it right. Lord God, I repent. I shouldn't have said that to her. I shouldn't have did that to him. I shouldn't have made that decision. But when you start to rely on the Holy Spirit in you, you make better decisions. Because he'll tell you, no, don't say that. Don't do that. Don't go there. You already know your family is going to be poking at you when you get over there. Don't even go. Don't even go. You already know it, that Uncle Tom and Uncle Ted and Cousin Louie and the people that like to jug at you or like to always get drunk and be tripping over stuff and knocking stuff on you. You already know they're going to do that. Pray for them. Pray that God will deliver them. Pray that God can help them. But you need the Holy Spirit inside you to help you get that strength to stop from being who you are. Because you already know you're ready to tell somebody off right now. You in church. Come on now. Let's keep it real. You let me come over there and jug at you. It's only a little while for you're going to be like Mother Joyce and she's going to be ready to beat you up. I'm just joking. I know Pastor Philip know about that. You done been threatened, what, a million times? I'm just having fun. But no, it's the truth. It's the truth, people. We got to understand the Holy Spirit is our friend. Okay, let me quit bumping my gums and get to the good part. Okay, John 14, verse 15. This is Jesus in red letters. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Jesus was the comforter that came into the world to help the disciples along. He was strengthening them. He was schooling them. He corrected them. And you got to understand, he did all of this for 3.5 years so that he could prepare them and get them ready for ministry. It ain't nobody in here. You just think you just a pew warmer? Forget about it. Everybody in here. This is why this word is coming forth. I'm like, Lord, I'm at home going back and forth. I'm like, Lord, I've preached this word. I don't know how many times. He said, preach it again. There's somebody there that needs to hear it. You are not your own anymore. You ain't your own. You gotta seek opportunities to drop a word for God. You gotta seek opportunities. You gotta listen to that small, still voice when you're sitting in the restaurant eating your eggs and sausage and bacon and hash browns and grits with your rye toast and you throwing down. And he say, tell them I love them. Or you got $10, $15, pay for their meal. And then when just pay for their meal, say, God bless you, I got your meal, and keep going. You got to hear me. God is looking for opportunities to use you. And you need the Holy Spirit, you need the Comforter to guide you in it.
Yep, that's right.
See, remember, God created, Jesus died for us, now he left the Holy Spirit to do his job. Even though God is still there and Jesus is still there, they up on the throne, but the Holy Spirit is the one that's moving now. He is. They all three have the same purpose. So that means they're one. If I'm me and Philip, we going to work on somebody's house Okay, and Philip said, "Hey, Bird, you follow me. You here with me. We're going to lay this, we're going to pull this carpet up and lay this carpet down. He on that side. I'm trying to get it one way. He trying to get it another way. We're going to be struggling. But if I go and I get over there with him and help him, it'll come right up, get it out of there, and go ahead and start laying down anew. Working together. Let the Holy Spirit work together with you. With you. Get you out of your head. Man, we listen, man, we'll mess up a wet dream. I know I'm just got to keep it true. I got to keep it real with you. We will mess up anything. It don't matter. Our thinking is stinking. It's crooked. It's wrong. Come on, y'all, be real with me. Who had a bad, who thought something bad last week? If you don't raise your hand, I'm going to run you out of here. If you don't raise your hand, I'm going to run you out of here. I'm going to go get the broom out of the kitchen and run you out of here. Everybody in here done thought something crazy. Man, I be rebuking myself. I be driving along, be like, what? Man, I rebuked that. What is that? I'm not thinking that. No. You got to talk to yourself.
That's right.
Come on. The longer you listen to that old crazy voice, it's going to get bigger and bigger. And the next thing you know, you doing it. You got to rebuke yourself. You got to understand. God is a spirit. It's a spiritual realm. Just like it's a natural realm, it's a spiritual realm. You got to let the Holy Spirit rule and reign in your heart and in your life. All right. The Comforter. I'm in 16. The Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now look here. Look at your paper. You see that up under there where it says Comforter? Let's read that. Y'all follow me now. Comforter. Jesus spoke of the Holy Ghost as another comforter. The Greek, alon, parakleton. Parakleton is the Greek, okay? Counselor is parakletos. Parakletos, parakleton is of the Spirit. It's in classical Greek, denoted someone called or sent to help. Come on now. Someone called or sent to help. Guess what we do? We don't let him. I'm the main culprit because I always thought I had it. We have to let him help. We have to. Watch this. It was sometimes used in a technical sense. Hold on. Let me get my eyes together. It was sometimes used in a technical sense as a counselor or spokesperson. Not in a legal sense, but as a friend coming alongside to help. A friend. Like my friend John here, Pastor John. The Holy Spirit is a friend. Make it a point to know you got him in your life. Let me tell you something. I'm not telling you nothing that you don't need. I'm not telling you nothing that you don't need. You need this. If you do not have him, make sure you tell Pastor Oz, I don't have him. I want to have that Holy Spirit in my life flowing to where I'm speaking in tongues. That's the evidence that he's in your life. You need that helper. Man, I fought over this word, man. Since last night, I went back and forth. I was over in Mark 4. Then I said, I'm going to do the... Then the Holy Spirit went back. I said, wait a minute. The Holy Spirit, that's going to be the heaviest word to give them because it's something they're going to have to deal with daily. I'll do Mark 4 the next time. Just hear me. God is expecting you to draw him in and let him work through you. If he was there when they created the heaven and the earth, and they created us, and they created the animals, what can he do through you?
That's right.
We got to get out of our way.
That's true. That's true.
We in our way. Men, we want to be tough. We want to be tough. I know I'm stepping on some toes. We want to be tough. We want to have all the answers. No, no, no. Your wife asks you something, I got to pray about it. Don't start acting like you know all the answers. Oh, I got it, baby. I got this. No, pray. Pray. Because the Holy Spirit has a whole nother way to get it done. Amen? This is real, y'all. This is real. I deal with it every day. I got 4 kids. 24 to 17. You think I ain't using the Holy Spirit? Because some days I'll be in there biting my lip. I'm going to go in there and tell them. And he said, no, you ain't. Shut up. And then the next day, guess what? I come home and everything is good. He says, shut up. See, but that's when you a friend. Only a friend can tell you that. That's when he your friend. He be like, man, will you stop? Let me do it. Because as parents, we think we know it all. We think we know it all. Because we have more experience, but the Lord is showing me, sit down, man. Sit down. Didn't you already pray about it? Well, take your hands off of it.
There you go.
I already prayed about it 45 minutes before I got home, and now I want to walk in there and want to give them a piece of my mind? Come on, man. Anybody in here does that? Especially you women. Raise your hand. You know about giving a piece of your mind. Somebody gonna probably give me a piece of mind after this word too. but no, truthfully. But he'll tell you, stop. You gotta hear that voice is in here in your bowels. This is where your spirit lives. In your bowels. In the center of you. And you got to learn how to get quiet. But first you got to defeat the enemy in your brain. He coming up with all kind of crazy solutions to the problem that ain't going to do nothing but make it worse. So I know why God gave me this word today. So that you could see and understand who you are and why you do what you do at times. Nobody's saying you're bad. Nobody's saying you're wrong. The point of the matter is God is about us controlling ourselves. It's about having control of what we say and do. Amen? Okay, now, 17. Well, let's finish in the footnote real quick. I'm not going to stop. Okay, we're going to start at We'll start a Greek line. Another of the same kind helper. He's the same kind as Jesus was, because Jesus was a helper. Jesus was indeed the helper of the disciples. He touched the weakness of Peter's mother-in-law and gave her strength for service. He touched her. And when, after she got all the way well, 100%, after she got her bearings back, she went and started ministering. She went out, started ministering. Why? Because her life was touched with the power of the Holy Spirit to change, to mold, to make better. He spoke to the helpless man at the pool and gave him strength to take up his bed and walk. Man, powerful. And the crazy thing about it is that God can use us to do the same thing. But we can't do that without the Holy Spirit. We won't even get close. We won't even be able to heal our own cold. We can have a cold of, oh, man, something going down. You can't. You can be like, oh, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Not going to work if you ain't got the Holy Spirit. You got to have the power, the entity that can make things anew, that can make things fresh. And there's no reason why you shouldn't have them. Amen? I'm not saying that because I got it. All I'm saying is it's imperative. I'm making it a point. It's very imperative for you to have this. Because when you're out and about dealing with the things of the world and you want to move on, you guess what? It's hard if you don't have a one-on-one situation with him. He won't be able to use you to convert somebody or to tell somebody that God is love or that God wants them or anything or to heal them. Okay. Whenever the disciples were discouraged, tired, or at odds with one another, he gave them unfailing help by example, teaching and miracle. You can do the same thing. He was always there when they needed him. Jesus further told his disciples that it was to their advantage for him to go away, for only then would he send the Paracletos to them. John 16:17, the Paracletos is the Holy Spirit. He, i.e. the Holy Spirit, would bring a closer relationship to Jesus and make his power available to them wherever they were or went. That's what he did for the disciples. He can do the same thing for us. So those of you that you spoke in tongues a little bit, talk to Oz about setting up something. Those of you who never have spoken in tongues, who've never had the infilling of the Holy Spirit to where you spoke out with tongues, talk to Oz. Make it time. It's not going to take that long. It's not going to hurt. It's going to help. Amen? Okay, verse 17. Watch this. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye now know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Spirit of truth. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. He's telling them, I'm about to be taken up to heaven. I'm about to die and go down in hell and take them keys and kick Satan's butt and free y'all from being entangled with him. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Amen. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Now, man, if that ain't a place to shout, hallelujah! Come on, give him one. Come on, let me repeat it, because I almost ran down that aisle. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Hallelujah! Man, listen to what he just said. I'm in my Father, the Father in me, and ye in me, and I'm in you. Wait a minute, we all are one. That's right. Man, if that ain't something to be happy about. Come on. I'm at the, God, let me pray back here. Lord, let's get them on fire this morning, okay? God, love you. And see, God has a humor. And I thank God when he can give me the word to where I'm not screaming down your throat. I'm making it palatable. I'm making it to where you can take it and apply it to your life and be able to make the changes. Because that's what it's about, man. I remember, I was sitting just like you are. I was sitting out there. I sit out there every other week. And guess what? The word be hitting me. It corrects me. I take the correction and I make it. I purpose to do it. And I feel bad. I feel bad, man, when somebody come and they just agitating person. And then my patience is short with them. Because one of the gifts of the Spirit is patience. One of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. I should be more patient with them. But sometimes I'm not. Because they just be irritating, man. They be irritating. I'm talking about, man, they got their fingernails in your back. Just irritating, you know? Y'all know what I'm talking about. People that you work with, that come the same way all the time. Okay. 21. He that have my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Hear this good, you all. He that have my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself unto him. God, he coming to you. He coming. Give him the space. Give him the space. Give him the opportunity. He's coming. He gonna manifest himself to you. He gonna show you. You don't know when it's gonna be. It's just gonna hit you. And he does it with me. And I'm using me as an example. He does it with me here and there when I least expect it. And you know what the result usually is? He breaks me down to my least common denominator. And I just start crying. And I just thank him. And I just love on him because I know he did it. I know he did it. Man, I feel so good now because I don't think crazy thoughts like I used to. Man, boy, you're talking about some deliverance, man. I thank God Almighty for deliverance. I was ugly, y'all. It just didn't make no sense. I go off on the cashier at the supermarket. You know she only get $9 an hour. You know why she got an attitude. It shouldn't be hard for you to figure it out. You only know she only making $10. You know why she got an attitude. I got to come in this place and deal with, you know, whatever. But verse 22. Judah saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come into him and make our abode in him. Now this is powerful. He said, I'm coming to live. He said, you're going to know the difference, but here's the point. Here's the point. Go over there in the fruit of the Spirit. Ephesians 5, Galatians 5, and read those. Love, joy, peace. Read those. And when you start seeing yourself walking in them, when you start seeing yourself correcting the way you do things, that's the Holy Spirit working in you. That's him. He coming. He coming, especially if you're serious. He coming. Because that's his job. He's not going to negate his job. He doesn't care what color you are. If you call on the name of the Lord, he's coming to you. That's why I'm here advocating for him, saying, would you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues? Would you get the power? That's all I'm saying. I'm just an advocate. Okay. Watch this. He that loveth me, I'm in 24. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. You're hearing the word coming from God, which sent Jesus. And Jesus sent who? The Holy Spirit. That's the word you want to hear. In the morning before you go to work, take 15, 20 minutes and put some word in. Give yourself something to hear every day before you leave. Give yourself something. Give yourself a chance to hear me speak to you. 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But, 26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Man, the Holy Spirit is such a teacher. He is such a teacher. He will blow your whole theology, your whole myth of what you think theology is. He's corrected me so many times. The one thing he had to drill in me is love. And then one day he just gave it to me. And I went back and forth with him. He said, Bird, well, I'm driving. He said, Bird, God is love. And love is God. He love. I said, he can love us. He said, no, he is love. And I'm like, how is he love? I really wanted to know because I was falling short there. I was falling short. He's loved because he first loved us by forgiving us and sending Jesus to die for us. That's great love. Is somebody going to lay their life down for you? And he said that to me. And I said, man, I should have been knew that. But I wasn't looking at it properly. See, love can be, God bless you, love you. Love can be, put a few dollars in the hand. Extra that you got. No, I'm giving you points. Love can be buy her lunch. Give her some groceries. Help them out with something around the house. Their grass. Like I have a landscaping business. And from time to time, the Lord will be like, no, don't charge them. And they'll be looking at me like, I cut their grass. Vroom, 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 vroom. Then I get in the truck, vroom. They be like, hey. I'm like, I'll catch you next time. It's deeper than what we think. You think love is like, oh yeah, come on, baby, let's kiss and hug and get it on. That ain't love. That's what the world got us thinking. That's what I thought it was. But love is laying down your life for somebody. I mean, sometimes you have to give even when it hurts. And I learned, man, I learned that from. Whew. But guess what? God is testing. Are you really loving or are you faking? That's right. He'll test you. Come on, y'all. He is going to test you. And okay, now let me make a confession here. I went round and around with God for a little while. He'd be like, bless them, do this, do that. I'm like, devil, I rebuke you. I'm like, I rebuke you. And then then one day the Holy Spirit said, the devil ain't gonna tell you to give nobody nothing. He gonna tell you to steal from them. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Would you get it together? And I'm like, man, I miss it. I'm sorry. I do better. No, I'm just being real with you, y'all. You have to build yourself up. You have to. Everybody just can't jump up and start pulling money out of their pocket. Just can't stop and go and do stuff for somebody, taking them out of their way. Everybody can't do that. Your heart has to be massaged and softened by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Ghost. That word will start working down in them veins. And it'll soften it up. And then that compassion will come in. You see something, man, or hear something on the TV or on the news, man, it just wrenches you. Like this Nancy Guthrie thing, man, that thing just wrenches me. I'm like, what? What are you getting out of it? But that's the way the world thinks. Okay, let's see here. Let's see, do I want to? 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it came to pass that when it has come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and have nothing in me. The prince of this world is Satan. He comes. He always comes to steal the word. You hear Jesus giving word, he always comes to steal it or challenge it or to deceive. 31, but that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let's go hence. Now here, is anybody here struggling? You don't got to tell me. This is what the Lord wants to do. If you're struggling with something, come up. God is opening up the door to just say, hey, get prayer. It's elders here. It's pastors here. We know Oz is the man, but it's other pastors here and ministers that can pray with you. Just, if you need prayer, just come up. Let the Lord pray, touch you. Let the ministers pray for you to help you through the week. To help you with whatever it is, because we don't know everything. But God always wants to open up the door to touch you. I definitely want to pray for Oz and Pastor Jen. Man, we got to pray for them. But is it somebody here? Don't be afraid or timid about coming up. Come up and get set free. Because God loves you enough to open it up so that he can touch you. He's only going to touch you through somebody else here. That's how he works. You think he's coming down just to touch you? No, he's not. He's going to use a man or a woman. Amen? We got one. Come on, y'all. Come on. If it's some particular that you want to ask the Lord about and pray about, We'll line up, please, right across. Pastors and ministers, come up and help us. God wants to help you. He wants to help you get understanding. Come on up, pastors. Father God, as we conclude the service right now, but I heard you. See, we got to understand, man, that God is able to heal you. Remember, his name was Jehovah Rapha in the Old Testament, the Lord that healeth thee. So healing is here. It's here. It's here, y'all. Here, listen to me. Healing is here. It could be you just got a broken heart. It could just be you just ain't been walking right with God. Ain't nobody mad at you. Forgiveness is here. Love is here. Day, Lord, as we pray for our brothers and sisters, as we uplift them, Lord God, you touch them and touch them in a mighty way, God, that deliverance and wholeness can come to them, Lord God, and that they will be healed and they will be set free from any demonic oppression, Lord God. Father God, we pray you can do it. You is your blood, Lord God. It's you, it's your spirit. Touch them now, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.